Welcome, my friends, to Shaking the Salt with Dr. Peppers. At the end of the message, stay tuned if you want to contact me for any reason, including prayers. Thank you, and I'm Dr. Peppers, Shaking the Salt. Here we go. Some of you may or may not know that I have spent quite a bit of time in jail. I know some of you say, well, what did you do that you had to go to jail? What crime? Where did... Well, let me tell you, I teach in the jails. All right. I did, as a teenager, get to spend one day in jail, one night. And we always laugh about this because my hometown of Clarksville, Missouri, was known for being such a leave it to beaver town. And I was one of the wild child rebels, I guess you would call me, along with a friend of mine. We took off in her dad's big Bonneville and decided we were just going to run away. And the funny part is we got all the way to Mexico. Yep, Mexico, Missouri, which was about an hour and a half away from where we lived. So we tell that story, and we did for a long time, but it really took quite a bit of time to let it sink in that I could, didn't want to, but I could spend the rest of my life in jail. If I had been a teenager today with all of the opportunities, all of the temptations, all of the ways to hook up on social media, I probably would have spent a long time in jail. The way that I first started teaching was a friend of mine back home was doing jail ministry and asked if I would like to go in and be a part of it. Our church was going in pairs, and so we did. And it was the Women's Detention Center in downtown St. Louis, which was really a dangerous place in itself to go into that area. There was a lot of crime, and the murder rate even was high, and yet I didn't think a thing about it. I thought, but for the grace of God, I would be spending permanent time in here. So why not donate some time and help some of the women to change their lives, just like others had helped me? I had parents that wanted to help me. Many of them didn't have parents at all. I had grandparents who were very prominent in the town and wanted to make every opportunity for me. Yet they sometimes didn't even know who their grandparents were. I had friends and family. I had situations in my home and my school where people cared. And sometimes these women and men in the jails have absolutely no one. I've kept a list of some of the requests that they made before COVID hit, because now we can't do that. We can't take papers in and out. We can't, you know, even hug one of the women as we used to be able to do. So at that time, these women were being paired up with one of my heart sisters. When we would have our monthly meetings, I would take these prayers with the first name of the women so they wouldn't reveal who they were. And I would ask my sisters to take one or two and be fervent in prayer for them. And they loved doing that. The girls loved hearing how the women were doing that for them. I call them girls because some of these women, although they're in their 50s and 60s, are still so young in their brains and their minds that some of them really don't know right from wrong. If you sat them down and you put it out on paper, okay, they would know what's wrong and they would know what's right. But in the heat of the moment, when you have no money, you may have a child that you're taking care of and you can't even get bottle formulas, are you going to steal to feed your baby? It's not right. It's never right to steal. But they do it. And I often say there's two words, and I used this when I was teaching too. That does not excuse the situation. It only explains the situation. There may be a good reason why. It's still not right, but you may understand the plight or the dilemma they're in. So these women from, I guess, 6 years ago when I started here in Florida, I had already done this for 20 years in Missouri and even in other states. But when 6 years ago, I have the first names and the situations of these women. And would you believe 5, 6 years later, Some of them return just like it's a revolving door. I had one young woman, maybe 20 she was, and she said, "When I walk out of here, Dr. Peppers, which way should I go?" I said, "Well, you go the right way. You find a loved one. You find somebody that's not going to be doing drugs." And she said, "No, I mean, which way do I walk?" I said, "You don't have any place to go?" And she said, "No, I didn't the last three times either." I'm like, "What? How can you not have anyone in your life? How can you not have registered with some kind of a shelter or some kind of a group that helps women?" I'll tell you why. They're all full. There is a waiting list for many of these places, shelters, detox. If you are a woman with a baby, you're apt to get help more and more readily and for longer than if you are a single woman who's just been doing drugs and letting guys beat up on you. Some of these gals have been trafficked, human trafficking, sex trafficking. Some have even self-trafficked simply because that's the only way they ever knew to live. I know my heart goes out to them, and I know that I could be a softy and they could pull the wool over my eyes. But as I always say, when someone's sitting on the street side begging and they're holding a sign that said, "I'm hungry," or if they have a child with them, "We need food," I know they could take money if you give it to them and use it for drugs and alcohol and anything else. But when you get them food or you give them a gift certificate to McDonald's, they still could trade it in and use it for wrong things. But I remember the scripture when Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And then the person said back to Jesus, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or when were you naked and we clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And then it says, "And the king," Jesus, "answers them and says, 'Assuredly, I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me.'" I remember that one time when my parents and Carol's parents let us spend the whole day and most of the night in that jail cell in Mexico, Missouri. One day on an empty cot, nothing to do, nowhere to go, hungry. And I remember when our parents let us out and we promised we'd go home and go back to school, and we did. And I spent the next 40 years in school, either in college, at the university, teaching, high school teaching, college teaching. And now I'm still teaching in the jails. And I didn't want to, but I had a teacher who told me about God. And when I think about feeding that man on the street, yeah, he could be a bum that's just going to use it for drugs. Or it could be the one that when I get to heaven, Jesus will say, "I saw you give food to that man. I saw you give food to that baby, that woman. I saw you give clothes to that shelter. I saw you when you were helping another person, just as I have helped you." I'm not telling you to go out and do street ministry or start going into the jails. I'm just saying, in your own sphere of influence, who is in need? It may be that very wealthy woman whose husband died and she's lonely and she doesn't know about God and how he can comfort her. She doesn't know that there's someone that cares. It's not about money. It's not about destitute or rich people. It's talking about the heart that wants to help, that wants to give. And I may be in the wrong when I give, and they may use it for wrong purposes. But I'm so glad God changed my heart that I want to help others. And I pray that you do too. I hope this helps you. God, I pray for the one that's listening, the one that doesn't feel they have a purpose. They don't feel that they have anyone who cares. They don't feel that they have enough to even sustain them, perhaps through the rest of the week, not just food-wise, material-wise, money-wise, but maybe emotionally, maybe in their heart of hearts. They just don't want to live. God, I pray for that one who's depressed, that one who is in and out of all kinds of situations. And I pray mostly for the one who doesn't know you and doesn't have the love and the peace and the joy and all the fruits of the Spirit you give. I pray that today they will come to you and receive you, that they will be so filled that their cup will be overflowing and they have to help someone else because they can't contain all of their blessings. I pray that, God, for the one listening, and I pray it for myself, in Jesus' name. God bless you, my friends. Find someone that really needs your help, your advice, your gift, your love, your prayers. I'm Dr. Pepper, shaking the salt. Thanks for staying on, my friend. If you would like to contact me, visit saltandlightministry.com. If you want to share your story with me, ask a question, have me come speak to your group, or maybe just request prayer. Once again, saltandlightministry.com. Thanks and God bless.